It's the Blaze for River Shore Golf Links. Welcome back and happy Friday afternoon if you're listening on Radio NL, or perhaps happy Thursday evening if you're one of those eager Beaver subscribers via podcast and you can get to the content a day earlier. It is for River Shore Golf Links. What a weekend shaping up at River Shore. Get your tee times now. Find them online, rivershoregolflinks.com. Shout out to Kevin and the crew at River Shore. We have a great show ahead this week. We'll venture over to Finland, where we will chat with Blazer defenseman Harrison Brunick. He's prepping for the U18 World Championships. Dan DePalma stops by, friend of the show, my color man for various games throughout the season. He's on that Canadian coaching staff. So we'll chat about that fun promotion or fun job there with Hockey Canada here coming up. We'll get a little political later on. Is that the right word? As we debate if it's time for the proverbial walk in the snow, Kamloops version. We'll have more on that. We'll take some fan mail and we'll update the WHL playoffs. Boy, it's been very predictable so far as we wind down round two and look ahead to the conference finals. Let's get into it. It is the Blaze. It is for River Shore Golf Links. Okay, the opener for Bry's Automotive and Customs, specializing in car, pickup truck repairs and restorations. And Danny and Kevin, if you are that hardcore that you're listening to the Blaze while on vacation in Mexico right now, because I know that's where you are, I know you're back in Mexico, thank you for tuning in. 125 Wilson Street, Bry's Automotive, custom paint and body work, custom engine work, full service automotive repairs with over 60 years of automotive knowledge. Okay, the Blaze really gearing down here for the season. After this week, we'll take a couple weeks off. We'll come back for one final show right after the WHL Prospects Draft, which will be a busy one for the Blazers. If you heard Aaron Keller on the show last week, that's his big dance. We'll have a recap. I believe that is on May 9th or 10th, the final episode of the year. And we'll put a wrap on the Blaze. Okay, we don't talk a lot of NHL here unless we're talking about former Blazers. And I guess in this case, it fits. Did you see what happened in Phoenix? I guess Tempe the other night with the final game of the Arizona Coyotes. How about the old Shane Doan retirement banner being just basically left up for grabs in the old arena in Glendale? Didn't make the trek over to Mullet Arena. The new ownership or new management didn't pick it up. Maybe that's another reason why Shane's in Toronto with the Maple Leafs. But there was that fan that seemingly found that old banner like on a shelf, or there's some talk it was in the garbage, you know, that big 19 retirement banner that hung in the arena. And he hand-delivered it to Shane. And he's a big Coyotes fan. He's a big Shane Doan fan. And there's a clip on Twitter and on social media with the interaction with the fan and Shane. It was great. You know, the one thing about Shane Doan, and I know everybody, you know, there's folks in Kamloops that know him really well. I don't know him really well other than just his interactions when he's around the hockey team here. And he's always going to be a guy that you feel better off after your conversation. He makes you feel important. He makes you feel, you know, he makes you feel good about yourself. And that's what he did here with his fan. And there's a story there to it where back in 2007, he says, "Shane, you signed my jersey and made me feel like the most important guy out there." I just thought it was a great story and good on this fan. You never know when you're going to need a guy like that, right? And he comes through in the clutch and delivers Shane his big 19 retirement banner. I hope they hang that banner up at the shoe swap at their place there and it just flaps in the wind over the lake. That would be something. But that's a great story. Connor Ingram. How about that? Connor Ingram has a bit of a history in Phoenix as almost like the Grim Reaper of buildings. Would you believe this? He was the goaltender against the Coyotes in their final game of the arena and the Gila River arena in Glendale. He played in the final game in that rink with the Nashville Predators. And you fast forward a few years later, he is playing in the final game now for the Arizona Coyotes chapter at Mullet Arena, this time with the Coyotes. Picked up the win, 5-2. Nice way to go out, but that'll be tough. You know, I don't think we really know what we're losing here with the Coyotes leaving Phoenix and going to Salt Lake City. Have you been down there? It's great. I love going down to Phoenix and Scottsdale. I've been there a couple of times only, but that whole valley is awesome, and it's paradise, really. And it's a big market, what, 5-6 million people within the valley, and they do not have an NHL team next season. Now, it sounds like there's groundwork being set to get another franchise in, but they need a new arena, and they need land, and they need partners and all that. So, but I feel for everybody involved in the organization. There were some great send-offs that night. And as well, we had him on the show here, Tyson Nash, color commentator for the Coyotes TV games. And he's an Arizona guy. Like, he's a Scottsdale, Phoenix guy. So I wouldn't assume he would make the move to Salt Lake City. You never know. But I think hockey in Arizona, Phoenix, and Scottsdale, Tempe, wherever they play, it'll be missed for sure. While we're talking NHL, Jack Edwards. Do you know Jack Edwards? Do you know that name? If you like the shop talk of play-by-play, then you know who Jack Edwards is. Longtime Boston Bruins TV play-by-play. Very polarizing figure, I guess you could say, in sports broadcasting. He's had some controversial, emotional calls over the years. Here he is a few years back. Playoffs, Boston against Montreal in overtime.
Top of the circle, Horton, the drive, score! The Bruins knock out Montreal!
Now, Jack has said he'll retire at the end of the season here. He's just a regional broadcaster on NESN Network, New England Sports Network. Doesn't broadcast the games nationally, although it seems like Sportsnet was picking up a ton of those NESN Bruins games for whatever reason. So I think he rubs some people the wrong way. But he very much calls the game for Bruins fans. And he's been undergoing some health problems. His speech has slowed significantly, and he doesn't know why. Doctors can't figure it out. And I like what he said the other night as he signed off at the end of his last regular season game this week.
I am spontaneous and emotional, and it's too late to change.
That's a good line. That's a good line. And you can hear the speech problems, unfortunately, in that clip. So a salute to Jack Edwards. Not too many outside of Boston care for his work, but nonetheless deserves a salute. What do we think of the WHL playoffs so far? They've been fairly predictable, haven't they? It's too bad almost. But we are going to get the four teams that everyone thought we'd get for the conference finals. And those two series will be great series. And we'll look forward to talking more about that. It's the opener for Bryze Automotive and Custom. Hey, it's On the Move for Thompson Valley Charters. And a reminder, they're looking for bus drivers. And here's the thing about Thompson Valley Charters. Let's say you're a motor coach operator. You have the proper license. Why wouldn't you want to work for a locally owned and operated company? They aren't some corporate entity that has their headquarters elsewhere but run buses in Kamloops. And that goes for choosing your bus provider as well. It's Thompson Valley Charters. Shout out to Roger and Diane. Stacy and I were there for dinner this week. What a feast. Ribs and lobster. Like, we were treated like kings and queens. So I know those two are off to another journey here soon. Lots of travels ahead for them this summer. He tunes in on the podcast when he's on the road. So hello to the Nadeaus and safe travels. Dan DePalma, he's on the move to Finland right now. Way on the move. You can't take a bus to Finland. Goaltending coach, Team Canada, U18. By the way, Harrison Brunick coming up a little bit later on the show. He's overseas already, getting set for Canada's bid at a gold medal, but Dan DePalma's there too. Or when we chatted this week, he was headed over there, goaltending coach, friend of the show, and we caught up with him. Dan, first of all, congratulations. This has to be an exciting venture here for you.
Yeah, first off, thank you very much, Keener. Yeah, really exciting for me. I feel pretty honored and pretty humbled. So, yeah, thank you very much.
I know this is not something new for you. You've been doing some work on the side with Hockey Canada. You were part of their under 17 challenge team for Team Black. You've done some summer camps as well in Calgary. So this has sort of progressed to this point, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's fair for sure. I mean, it's always been a little bit more of a challenge for me just because, you know, hockey's not, you know, my living, right? It's not what I do full time. So, you know, the time and the commitments are sometimes challenging to fit in. The Blazers on their own is a challenge, and thankfully I have a, you know, great employer at Arrow that allows me to juggle it to make it work. So yeah, there's not always the window and there's not always the want for me. So this is where both finally matched up, where they, you know, they were looking to have me and I was maybe able to make it all work. So yeah, it worked out great. I'm pretty excited.
Likely you'll be working with goaltenders that you probably haven't worked with before. What's the dynamic there for a short tournament?
Yeah, that's the nice thing about having done it, even though it's been a few years. You know, the dynamic there is just to develop a rapport really quick, try to understand what makes a goalie's game successful, and just work real hard for them, like always, right? And then it's just back to basics and work real hard and give them the support and the confidence they need to go be their best. That's it. Like, you're not going to change a game in a matter of 2 to 3 weeks, and nor should you. They're good goalies. They've got there for a reason. So, yeah, just try to support, enhance, and just try to put them in a spot where they can be their best.
You grew up sort of humble beginnings in Prince George. We talked a little bit about your family dynamic, just, you know, when we're on the road and things like that here. But, you know, if I would have said 30 years ago to you, like, you'll be trying to help Canada win a gold medal, you know, in a world tournament in Finland with Hockey Canada, you probably would have said, like, what? Like, what are you talking about here? So you probably feel like, you know, this is a nice moment for you and for your family, too.
Yeah, honestly, Keener, I never would have ever dreamed this. Like, you know, when you stop playing and you branch out into your career and your family and the things that you're going to do to make your way through life, yeah, you almost forget. And this doesn't ever seem like it's ever a possibility. You don't even think about it. So, yeah, it is really, it's real humbling, Keener. Like, it's great. I mean, you think about being a kid, you think about your parents and your siblings and your friends and playing street hockey and kind of living these things out. And it's been awesome. I've loved sharing it and with all of them, even just the news and the support and love I'm getting in return. I can't believe. So it's great.
Yeah, on Blazer social media, there's quite the pop, as we call it, in the business. But you know what? You mentioned sharing this. Harrison Brunick, before he left, did indicate to us that he's in the running to make this team. He's expected to be on the roster. There has been no roster announcement as of yet. They're sort of waiting to see who comes out of the playoffs here in the CHL, I believe. But that would be nice to, you know, share it with at least a familiar player on the Blazer side you work with every day.
No question. I mean, love the Blazers, love the organization, so more Blazers the better. So I'm, you know what, I guess we'll find out in good time whether Harry's there or not, and hopefully for him, yeah, he's able to get the experience as well. That'd be fantastic.
You know, you'll likely be situated at the games in a booth high above the ice, probably near a broadcast booth or two, probably beside the TSN booth. Have you thought about maybe jumping on, putting a headset on, and doing some color commentary here?
Oh, I would love that, Keener, if they would have me and Hockey Canada would allow for it. My gut says that's not going to happen for both fronts, but no, that would be the second dream, you know, of representing Canada and then do a little TV work or a little bit of, I feel like I'd be a betraying you, though. I don't think.
No, green light. This is your hall pass. Okay.
I think you've spoiled me, Keener. I don't think I can do it with anybody else. I think it's you or bust for the rest of my life. So.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. I'm glad we got a hold of you today with you leaving here in short notice. So I know you'll be on about an 8 or 9 hour time difference here from Kamloops when you get over there. So we'll be cheering for Canada. We'll be cheering for you, and hopefully you bring a nice souvenir back here to stare at this summer. Okay, Dan?
Yeah, Keener and everybody at the station, thank you for even thinking of me for this. And yeah, thanks to everybody in the community. And like I said on text, go Canada, go Blazers.
Okay, feature interview time. Harrison Brunick in the news this week, named to Canada's under 18 team, and also jumped up in the Central Scouting final rankings to number 52 amongst North American skaters. Although, sounds like some teams have him much higher than that. And we'll ask him about the upcoming Worlds and the NHL draft, if he's going, and all of that fun stuff. That's on the way. It's for Hydro Power Wash. Hydro Power Wash, mobile pressure washing servicing Kamloops in the BC interior, where Christopher specializes in heavy equipment, fleet washing, exterior window cleaning, full exterior house washes, moss removal from roofs. And I asked him to give me a shout out on email, and he did that. He returned it right away and said, hey, yeah, I'm busy trying to, you know, pay for Canucks playoff tickets. So track him down, if you will. Email info@hydropowerwash.ca. You can text him, 250-851-1072. But all the kids like to reach out on social media channels these days. You can find Hydro Power Wash on Facebook and Instagram. Well, he was named to Hockey Canada's under 18 team for the World Championships in Finland. And Finland is where we chat with Harrison Brunick. Harry, I don't know what time it is over there right now, but appreciate you you jumping on with us here and having a chat on some big news that came down this week.
Yeah, no problem, Keener. It's about like 11:15 here p.m. So, yeah, just kind of getting ready to go to bed pretty soon here, dealing with the jet lag and everything. So, yeah.
Tournament opens up on the 25th, so you're there basically over a week in advance for this tournament here. Like, that's a lot of lead-up time between now and then.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're here for 3 weeks, 21 days, so a lot of preparation to kind of go in before, the tournament starts. So good weeks, a couple weeks of practice, a few exhibition games, and just kind of getting to know the guys a lot more, and obviously, a new coaching staff and stuff like that. You know, Dan's here, so seeing a familiar face is always nice. So
yeah, that's got to be cool to see Dan's big smile in the morning. Kind of a, maybe feels a bit of a home away from home then for you just a bit.
Yeah, exactly. Again, like I said, it's just a familiar face, someone I can kind of talk to if I need anything. Dan's obviously, a great guy, and someone, again, like I said, always very energetic and always positive.
This has been something on your radar, probably maybe I would say just a few days after you were hurt on BC Family Day. You suffered that injury in that afternoon game. You haven't played an actual organized game since. But when did this come to the realization to you that this was a potential possibility to extend your season and play some games for Canada here overseas?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, after the injury, I mean, I just kind of want to jump back in it. Watching games was pretty hard for me, so yeah, I was looking forward to if I got the opportunity to play for Team Canada. It's here now, so again, like I said, looking forward to this opportunity to play more games and kind of continue on my season.
How do you think you'll react? Like, you haven't played a game now in, I guess it's been 2 months almost to the day that we speak here, that you've been in a meaningful game here. Are you confident you'll be 100%?
Yeah, no, I'm feeling really good. Obviously, some things are still a little uncomfortable with, my shoulder and the injury, but as far as practice and stuff like that, so far everything's been great. So, today was our first skate. Fast pace, very energetic. Again, seems like a great coaching staff, and they know what they're doing. So, it's been great so far, and hopefully the shoulder's going to be feeling good.
I'm sure you're going to get the question a lot. Maybe you've got it already, but the birthplace, is South Africa. So now that you've played for Canada here, I believe there's no turning back. Like, I don't think you can go back and play in the South African squad here, but that's a bit of a neat tidbit, I'm sure, that you're being asked about, is the whole ties to South Africa here. What's it been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, we've gone over some stuff here with Hockey Canada, and you know, that citizenship was maybe a little bit of an issue at one point, but yeah, it's all kind of figured out now. Obviously, no turning back. You know, I'm happy, happy where I am to be a part of this this team here, and you know, representing the Maple Leaf in my country.
That's great. Is it a question that comes up from scouts, to, like NHL scouts here ahead of the draft? Like, is it like something that's like, tell me about the South African background here? Is that something you answer a lot?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, obviously, it's pretty unique. People love to kind of hear about that, you know, my other side of my life, and, you know, about my family and things like that. So definitely a topic that's brought up a lot.
You're in Finland. I'm not sure how much time you've ever spent overseas. Is this sort of like a first trip to Europe for you, or what's it like?
Yeah, I mean, as far as hockey, it's been the first. We went to London as a family quite a long time ago. So yeah, pretty recently. This has been the first time I've been here in a while.
Any weird welcome to Finland moments for you that's maybe a little bit different than back home?
Yeah, we got like single beds, you know, we're like between roommates. So they're pretty small and they're like right on top of each other. So trying to figure out some solutions there. And then as far as like the road signs and everything, they're all, you know, pretty, pretty strange. And, you know, the language, obviously, or the writing you see on stores is a lot different to what I'm used to, for sure. So yeah, again, just, you know, it's pretty cool to kind of experience this. And, yeah.
Yeah, the rooms are pretty tight. Like you said, the beds are like right beside each other, like a college dorm. I kind of get the feel for that a little bit. Yeah. What about your WHL teammates? There's seven of you representing. They said Berkeley Catton and Caden Lindstrom could not participate. But do you know any of the other guys or any relationship with them in the past?
Yeah, I've been you know, part of, you know, some teams with Charlie Ehlich. I think that's probably the one I know the most. But yeah, I don't know too many people here. It's always great to kind of meet new people and make new friendships. So I'm looking forward to that, and, you know, hopefully win a gold medal together here.
What about interacting with the other leagues, like the OHL and the Q? I think there's a sense where it's tough sometimes for Hockey Canada to integrate the three different leagues because, you know, there's different, you know, different culture, sometimes different language. Everybody thinks that their league is the top league. So how do you guys all kind of coexist together?
Yeah, I think there's some, you know, friendly conversations, you know, between the different leagues here. But, you know, we always like to, you know, figure out what's kind of going on that side. And they like to know what's going on in the Western League as well. So I think those conversations are always good to have. It's pretty, pretty special to, you know, kind of be on the same team all together.
Do you have to fight a little bit not to stay in your sort of your comfort groups, like, you know, the WHL guys hang together and the Q guys hang together? Do you guys have to fight that a little bit, or is that not an issue?
As far as, yeah, groups, I mean, a lot of these guys play on the Hlinka team together or have played for other different Canada teams or whatever it is. You know, I think there's a lot of, you know, guys just kind of mixing together. And yeah, like I said, just looking to make new friendships and yeah, kind of just, you know, be around whoever.
Are you following WHL playoffs at all back here, or have you sort of turned the page on that? What's your take?
Yeah, I've been keeping up. Obviously, it's kind of difficult here with the different time zone and stuff like that, but I am checking up on it and, you know, seeing who's doing well. But, you know, I'm really focused on what I have to do here. I have a big goal set for myself, so really focus on that as well.
When it comes to the NHL draft this summer, it's in Vegas. It sounds like it'll be the last draft that's not held. I forget what the word is, but this one is with all the teams and everybody there. They'll do it sort of remotely the rest of the way. That's what it sounds like anyways. It's in Vegas. It's at the Sphere. First of all, are you planning to go? Is that something you've thought about?
Yeah, so we got all the flights booked here as a family and stuff. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that. You know, it's super, super special, obviously super, you know, grateful to be in that position and experience that.
You're from Calgary. At least that's your residence. Do you have a, Do you have I hate to ask this question because I know the answer already, but fans like to hear it. Is there a destination or a city that you'd love to go to here on draft day?
You know what? I don't really know. As far as like a team standpoint, I'm not really too picky on wherever it is, but yeah, I think just, you know, being involved in that whole Vegas atmosphere and, going through the draft and seeing buddies picked or whatever it is, it's going to be super special.
Yeah, that's the answer I sort of thought that you'd give. With that said, though, there's probably some teams, and you don't have to name names or teams, but you probably get the feeling that there's maybe a team or two maybe more interested in you than others. Maybe they followed up, they've done a couple interviews, or they've taken the extra step. Like we saw Fraser Minton flown into Toronto and he did all these, you know, exercises to sort of feel about how his mental side of the game was. Are you getting a sense there's a team or two out there that's perhaps sort of a front runner to select you?
I've had some conversations, multiple times with different teams. Again, it's obviously super cool to have that, and again, really grateful for it. But yeah, just kind of going through the process with different teams, always great meeting, you know, new people. I love those like mental performance talks with different teams. I think it's pretty interesting to, you know, find out more stuff about yourself and just kind of, yeah, again, go through that process.
So it's like almost like a psychiatric evaluation. Does it feel like that sometimes?
Yeah, a little bit. There's been some strange ones. They kind of just go over almost your personal characteristics or traits almost. So, I think that's always pretty unique and, pretty cool.
Okay, so do they ask you, like, pick between what animal you'd like to be or any sort of weird stuff like that that you can remember?
Yeah, so they've done some pretty strange stuff. I mean, there's a lot of, like, puzzles and things like that, so you have to like figure out what shape's missing or you know, it's a different color to something. So there's some pretty tricky stuff. Again, some stuff with the animal or kind of different weird questions like that. There's been one where you got to pick, like, you know, there's like a $5 bill on top of the toilet seat, or there's a $20 bill inside the toilet, and you gotta, you know, pick which one and kind of give your explanation on to why you picked that. So yeah, there's some pretty tricky stuff there, and again, it's super cool.
Wow, okay, that's an odd one. That is definitely off the radar. I don't know, do you feel like there's like a wrong answer that you could give and that they would like stroke your name off the list? Like, that's what I'd be worried about.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's really a wrong answer. I kind of just think they, you know, they look at, if you're telling the truth to what type of person you are. But for that question, I mean, I guess for me, I'm going to pick the $20 bill inside the toilet. You know, I like to get my hands dirty and get in the dirty area. So that's kind of my response to that, not trying to take the easy way out.
Yeah, you know what? That's probably the right answer. I was thinking you're already in the you're already in the bathroom, you're already in the toilet. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You might as well go all the way. Okay, well, wow. That's interesting. That'd be quite the process to go through. Harry, I know it's getting close to curfew time. The tournament opens up on the 25th. Any idea who the toughest competition will be? Like, are you expecting the Americans to be the top dog, or what's your take?
Yeah, from what I've heard, I mean, the Americans got a good team. They obviously play together for, you know, the whole season. So they'll obviously be a good challenge for us. As far as the other teams, I mean, you know, really focus on our first game, you know, however that's against. But it's going to be awesome and a great experience.
Okay, well, I'll let you get onto bed here in your single bed beside your roommate, and hopefully you can get a decent night's sleep and get over the jet lag. But it's a thrill to have you over there representing the Blazers and Kamloops, and it'll be a thrill to see you at the draft and have your name called and keep the Blazers' streak alive, which is the longest streak going in the WHL of having a player selected each year. You'll keep that streak alive here for sure, and hopefully a gold medal.
Appreciate it, Keener. Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Prospects Corner for our friends at Mastodon Equipment. It was great to have Mastodon on this season. Go big, go with Mastodon. Mastodon Equipment and Repair. This week, special shout out to Blazer prospect defenseman Tyson Moss. He played his 16-year-old season with the Vancouver Northeast Chiefs in the BC Elite Hockey League, U18. And what a season he had. In fact, he couldn't have had a better year. Just name the league's Defenseman of the Year. On top of that, top scoring defenseman during the regular season. He was a first-team All-Star and, get this, a league champion. So it doesn't get much better for Tyson Moss. 6-foot defenseman, coming off a good season. He'll be 17 in his 17-year-old season in the fall. I would expect he'd have a shot to make this team. A 10th-round pick by the organization back in 2022. 217th overall. So perhaps that has motivated Tyson to develop his game. And we look forward to seeing if he can come in and be an impact guy here. So again, those accolades for prospect Tyson Moss, top scoring defenseman, league champion, first team All-Star, and the Defenseman of the Year. Prospect Corner for Mastodon Equipment Repair. Okay, let's do some buying and selling now. Kyle Panasuk, Westwind Royal LePage Realty, trusted real estate professionals, his cell phone 250-819-9332. Action is heating up in the city. There's listings, there is multiple offers, there's properties going above asking. It's back. It is back, and the interest rates have not been lowered yet by the Bank of Canada. But if you're buying or you're selling, jump into the market with Kyle Panasuk, Westwind Royal LePage Realty. Okay, first of all, selling.
Sell, sell, sell.
The WHL playoffs. They have been a little predictable, haven't they? In fact, we have gone likely here. If the favorites win their games, they're up 3-1 in the second round. We'll go 11-12 in the opening two rounds. 4-4 in round two. So I just need a little bit of action here. Need a little bit of action here in the playoffs. Hey, I'm selling.
Sell, sell, sell.
This is my annual or weekly civic note. The Lansdowne Street repairs are coming up. It is going to be a grueling slog this summer commuting. And I say grueling like an extra 9-10 minutes maybe. But I'm going to have to find another route home from the radio station here. Lansdowne Street repairs start here at the end of the month. And it's going to knock it down to one lane. And it's not going to be a lot of fun. And John will be grumpy. Hey, I'm selling.
Sell, sell, sell.
Songs. I've said this before. It happened again. Songs with sirens, like police or fire sirens in them. I was driving the other day, and Bon Jovi's It's My Life was on. And there's like a random siren in that song. So I'm trying to do my civic duty, looking around, like, where's the ambulance or where's the fire truck and where do I pull over? And it was a false alarm. And here's another thing they should ban. TV commercials with like an alarm clock sound going off. You know, the iPhone alarm, that annoying digital beat. Yeah. No commercials with that. Or commercials with doorbells. You know, the doorbells and they ring and then your dog goes crazy. What are we doing here? Like, what are we doing? So we're selling that. We're not buying too much this week, though. Okay, let's get serious here for a second. There was a much talked about interview here on Radio NL about a week ago or so now. Brett Menear and Mayor Reed Hammer Jackson squared off in what felt like an after school fight. It had that feel to it. Text messages start going around. The mayor and Brett Menear, 3:30 after school. That's what it felt like. And the interview, if you heard it, I'm sure you have. It has over 3,500 plays online on our Radio NL SoundCloud page and also was tuned in live across Kamloops and the Thompson Okanagan. It was cringy at times, entertaining at others, but a lot of it was cringeworthy. Now, those two don't see eye to eye. They never will. There's too much history between Brett and Mayor Reed Hammer Jackson. It goes back to his campaign, where Brett took issue with some of his endorsements at the time. And it's now followed into year two of Reed Hammer Jackson being the mayor. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've hobnobbed with the mayor at different events. Friendly banner, seen him at hockey games. He's been up on my intermission. We've had chats. Recently saw him at the TRU Wolfpack Evening of Champions, a scholarship fundraiser. We chatted for 20 minutes. It's always friendly. Handshakes, laughter. We usually talk about Brett and where that's at. And he brings up Brett with me. We laugh it off. Friendly chit-chat. But in a way, my mindset recently has changed to where I feel that this friendly chit-chat and banter is an endorsement of what's transpired. That there's no accountability from my end on this. And I have to say, recently, I haven't liked exactly the brand of Kamloops. And the Kamloops brand, I feel, has been under fire. The brand is a strong one. Tournament capital of Canada. That's our brand. That's our calling card. But what's gone on lately has not been a good look. It's not been good for our image, provincially, nationally. I have friends who, out of province or in province, that text or send messages, and they are rubbing their hands together over the gossip and the daily news that's coming out of Kamloops. It's out there. It's out there. So who am I? You know, I often refer to myself at the station as just the dumb sports guy. Tell me the score of the game, who scored the goals, who won the hockey game, that's it. But I guess I come from a little bit of a political family. My mom involved in provincial politics back in Saskatchewan, more so of an advisory role, a campaigner, a helper. My dad, actually a former two-term mayor of my hometown where I grew up. So I have some political will, if you will. It perhaps is in my nature. I've never ran for office or school board seat or anything like that. And I appreciate the courage that it takes for others to put themselves out there in that scenario. In fact, it's funny. I'm still sort of haunted by losing an election in my grade 4 classroom at a mock exercise about the democratic process. Now, I campaigned my classmates on everything they wanted, from recesses extended to no tests on Monday, more freedom in the classroom. Still lost. Got crushed, actually. So I do appreciate those that put their name forward. So getting back to hobnobbing and chit-chatting and friendly banter, I said to myself recently, okay, John, be honest with yourself. The behavior or actions of what's been going on has to be called out in a public setting. I challenge others to do the same in the city. Challenge others. That's why when that interview was over, the first person the mayor saw was myself. I was outside the control room, and he asked me, how did that go? And I said, without hesitation, that did not go well for you. It didn't. It was unbecoming. It was a personal battle where emotions got involved. And I don't think it served the mayor's interest well. Did it? Can you honestly say it did? I'm starting to be honest with myself. I care about that Kamloops brand. I think the campaign message, back to the election, I think it was awesome. Well-timed. Community protection. Let's address some of these problems facing Kamloops. Crime, property, destruction, theft. It's not immune elsewhere. It's seemingly a societal problem that we have here in Kamloops. So the mayor campaigned on that. So did Councillor Kelly Hall. Kelly Hall said that was number one for him, community safety. And the mayor rode this frustration within the city and was elected mayor. There's no denying he was elected mayor. But my message today is the message itself. Has it been lost in the messenger? In fact, one could argue the entire platform of community protection and let's take our city back mentality, it's lost steam because of the front man. A mutual friend recently told me a quote, and it stuck with me. He says, the mayor acts and always has acted like he has nothing to lose. And in a way, I envy that, because in society, you can't always act that way. He says what he feels. There is no wall between mind and mouth. It's tough to operate that way. And perhaps I'm a little envious of that. But is that approach setting back, executing what the message was? So that's where I'm at. Honestly, that's where I'm at. What does the Kamloops brand mean to you? Are you proud to live here? Are you proud to be from here? I've only been here 14 years, but it's been 14 good years. I plan on making that many more years to come. It matters to me. Does it matter to you to the point where you stop being honest with yourself? That's why I'll speak up. That's why I'll speak up now. That's why I spoke up after that interview. Are you proud of the Kamloops brand? And how can you help it? That's buying and selling for Kyle Panasuk, Westwind Realty, Royal LePage, Kamloops.
You've got mail.
Okay, it's fan mail time, and we'll likely get some fan mail from that last part of buying and selling and our take on civic politics. Usually it's positive. I'll get text messages from people I know weighing in. Sometimes, you know, my takes get some negativity. My bike lane feud, I wouldn't call it a feud, just observation, I guess, that received a couple of direct messages. And hey, I appreciate it either way. You know, it shows you're listening, you're engaged, and maybe you can help change my opinion or my view with your views. Not often the case in today's world, but let me know. Let's get to fan mail. And I was late throwing out the fan mail tweet, so there's not a lot in the mailbag this week. But here's the first one today from Justin at Road Trip Beers, one of the best Twitter handles in the game right now. He posted a story that Global Okanagan did. I think it was 2016. Remember when Global Okanagan sent out a video journalist and they did a story based out of Kelowna, but it was all about where have the fans gone in Kamloops? And it was sort of a direct shot at the fan support here. Fast forward, our fans have been awesome. Our fans have been awesome the last number of years. Playoffs, sellouts have been the norm the past few seasons, but it hasn't been the case down the highway. And they're sort of looking at areas where they can improve their ticket sales. Now, the Rockets had nothing to do with this Global story. And it was put out basically, it was like, I thought it was like a hit piece. It really was about Kamloops. And they had comments from the Rockets as well, the Rockets management, and that they didn't take the bait. They weren't trying to pile on. But now, you know, the shoe's been on the other foot. So Road Trip Beers basically said, hey, Global Okanagan, where's your reporter at Travis_Global? And is he going to basically, like, do a story on Rockets attendance? Well, I mean, I get your point, Justin, and yeah, thanks for finding this old link, and we can look back on that now and say, who's laughing now, right? And again, this is not a dig at the Rockets. This was a Global Okanagan story, and they went at Blazer Nation back in 2016. Fast forward now and see. So thanks for that. Was there a question at all? No question. But Justin, thanks for pointing that out. Thanks for finding that old link. And you can see that on Twitter if you want to see that story and just how much of an agenda piece it was. Fired me up. Still fires me up. Thanks, Road Trip Beers. Appreciate that. Nathan Ryder, at Nathan Ryder 14, he goes, Easton Armstrong earned a 4-game suspension for his charge against Chase Wutzke, the goaltender for the Red Deer series. He sent along the clip of the hit. And it's not good. It's not good. The biggest part of this was that Chase Wutzke, who could be the Rebels' MVP, was lost for the rest of the series. Never played another game. Looks like an upper body injury on the heavy collision from Easton Armstrong, who is a load. He's a big boy. 4-game suspension. It reminded me of the Blazers-Portland series. Was that 2012, 2013? That was the year, the crazy game six at the Sandman Center. Remember, the Blazers had lost their number one goaltender in that series. He never played another game. Cole Cheveldae was hit by Oliver Gabriel. Similar situation. And it was Cam Lanigan that was thrust into the starting role. Gabriel was suspended. I'm not sure if it was 2 games, 3 games, what it was. But that was a big part of the series. So that's what it reminded me of. He asked me, is that fair suspension, too much, too little. You knock out the other team's MVP, their goaltender, and it's and if it's a bad play, in this case it drew a major penalty for goaltender interference, then I don't see any reason why that player should be allowed back in that series or perhaps the next series after if that team advances. It's the number one reason why all of a sudden your entire playoffs can be put into jeopardy. And in Red Deer's case, it was. In fact, their backup goaltender was hurt. They had a call-up start game four and lost 7-0. So you tell me how important that was. Anyways, four-game suspension, Easton Armstrong. That makes him eligible back for, I believe, game two of the Eastern Conference Championship. Brotherhood of Blazer goalies named Dylan. Will any of the prospect camps coming up be open to fans? I believe it'll all be open to fans. It'll be at, likely, I think, Brock Arena at the end of May, first weekend of June. So if you want to see some of the young prospects coming in from the draft or the 07 group, I guess that is, or sorry, the 08 group, then yeah, I would go and check that out. But more details, watch Blazer social media. And the Sheriff on patrol, shout out to the Sheriff _ 24. Other than Toledo retiring, are there any other staff members moving on? Or at this point, is it largely the same moving forward for next year? I haven't heard otherwise, Sheriff, so I'm going to assume that the hockey staff is all back. Granted, it is April and things do change, but as far as I know, all the rest of the hockey staff is planning on coming back. So thanks for your questions. That's fan mail for the Mattress King. Okay, let's wrap up this episode. Again, we have one left coming up in a few weeks here at the beginning of May, May 9th or 10th, going into that weekend after the prospects draft. We'll take a bit of a break, but closing remarks are for Pleasure Pools Plus. Check out their massive roster of affordable H2O, Cal, and Sundance spas. They do hot tub repairs, pool repairs, service and advice. Talk to Len Seri and their staff today. Len looks like he has a great setup there in his backyard when it comes to a pool. And he's got a sign up in the back that says, sip and dip, where every hour is happy. I like that, Len. Every hour is happy. So if you're in Len's backyard at any point this summer, enjoy. And thanks for being on board again, Len. Appreciate you. Pleasure Pools Plus, where we wrap up another episode, where next time we chat, we'll be heading into the WHL Championship Series. So it looks like it will be Moose Jaw, Saskatoon, Prince George, Portland. Whoever emerges out of that, that's going to be a good league final. So we do have some good hockey remaining in the playoffs. It just hasn't been overly exciting yet in the postseason in the WHL. Big shout out to our guest this week from Finland, Harrison Brunick, popped by. Harry, hope you figure out your sleeping arrangements there at the hotel. And to Dan DePalma as well. Thanks, Dan. And good to chat with you and bring home that gold medal. Looking forward to hooking up later this summer, playing some golf. And looks like the weather's going to be good. I'm going to go play some golf this weekend. That should be a lot of fun as we get into the summertime here. All those summer vibes are starting here. You know, the lake and, you know, camping and boating and, you know, just having some fun with friends here and family. Looking forward to it here. So thanks for hanging in again for the latest episode of The Blaze. Shout out to Rivershore Golf Links, our title sponsor. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.